Shake a tail feather. Get up, Bill. Is that your alarm?
Yeah, that's my alarm. You know, I don't know enough about songwriting, but if let's say, Wendy, let's say you and I were songwriters and we'd written a song, how would we know exactly when in the song to put lyrics like, hah! Like, how would we know?
You have to fit it in, you know, to the groove.
Is that what it is?
You got to feel the groove, and then you know when to do the...
Maybe that's what it is. I don't feel that groove.
You don't feel that groove.
I don't feel the groove.
I think you wait until you get your arms around and then the thumb just under the diaphragm.
And then you... Okay, I right. get that. I understand that. So do you construct the rest of the lyrics, and then you look at it, and you go, it's good, it could be better, I'll just throw in a... I'll just throw in... Like, a lot of times, a lot of songs are written during martial arts classes, you know? So maybe you go, that's where I go, hur! I'll just throw that in there.
It's filler. I mean, you write the lyrics.
Yeah.
There's actually a songwriting class going on at the Old Town School of Folk Music if you'd like me to sign you up.
I should sit in on that.
It's a couple Fridays from now.
I should sit in on that.
It's just filler. I mean, remember the ZZ Top LaGrange? How, 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 how.
Oh, I like that.
They just, you know, they write the lyrics and then... They feel
the music happens around it.
They get the music in them.
See, I didn't know that part. You know, there's a song that Jay-Z sings. Well, he does the rap part, and then it's this song about New York. You know, the city where dreams are made of.
Right,
you
know, I know the city. Right. I don't know the song.
You know the song. You know the song.
Huge song.
You would know it.
I bet I don't.
$100.
It's, you would,
Chaz,
find that song, but before you play it, here's the part of the song I like at the very beginning. Is Jay-Z, he starts out with a lyric that it's just a word, but I don't get it. He just, at the very beginning of that song, he goes, yeah, which is like saying, yeah, but he's also saying, like, he's not saying, yeah, it's like gee whiz and yeah all at once.
It's with Alicia Keys?
Yes.
The Empire State of Mind?
Yeah.
It's really, you would know it. But at the very beginning, you know that part, he just goes, yeah. And then into the song, and I'm right. Like, that's genius. I would, like, in a million years, I wouldn't go, how do I start the song?
Or a post on Facebook.
Oh,
no, that's not it.
Stupid commercials.
That's the backside.
Careful, we love them.
Yes.
Not on YouTube, I don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Empire State of Mind. That's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
The video will play after the ad.
Oh, okay.
Can't we as a radio station get YouTube Red? So we don't have to sit through the commercials?
No. I do it myself so that I don't have to do that because I feel it's my responsibility.
Oh.
All right, what's your password?
I'm not telling.
Jeez.
Mine is yeah.
Is this it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There. Isn't that cool?
The lyric came up as yeah.
But he doesn't say yeah.
Because
he says,
way cooler than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what if I write a song, that's how I'm going to start it. With that.
I never heard this song before. Bertrand, honest to God, you owe me $100.
No, hold on, just wait a second. Like, when it kicks in, you'll go, oh, this song.
They stopped playing it. What was it, a Yankee Stadium? Because...
Why did they stop?
Well, it wasn't altogether positive. I mean, I think...
Oh, it does have... Right, it has... Right. There's some negative undertones.
When
Alicia Keys jumps in, you'll go, oh, this song.
I can't imagine you don't know this song, Wendy. It's like
I'm
not knowing.
Very unhip.
Here we go. Here we go.
Now you know it. You've never heard
honestly,
this song ever.
It's hard for me to imagine.
Oh, they play this. There's a channel on satellite. This is all they play is this song.
How about Happy Birthday? Have you heard Happy
play
Birthday?
Play Happy Birthday.
No,
see if you've heard that one.
I'm a few bars. I swear I've never
like this.
Heard this song.
That's, yeah.
Happy just, birthday to
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I just love the songwriters being bold enough to say, I'm just going to throw in whatever I want. Just a word, a phrase. It just doesn't. I love that. That's great.
Don't you think Bertrand owes me $100?
I swear to you, I've never. You've never heard that song?
Are you in my head? Thank God you're not. You don't want to be there.
There's no closet
space.
If
you can prove to me you've never heard it, I'll give you $100.
I don't know how else to...
Well, I mean, if you...
I guess
everyone's heard that song.
If you lived, what is it, about 7 years ago, 6 years ago?
I was
ago?
Not living then.
You weren't alive seven
no.
years ago? Come on.
I think it's longer than that, almost.
Is it really?
Well, I don't know.
But it's one of there are many songs over the last 5 or 10 years where it's half, like Alicia Keys' part is a very traditional sounding song, but then they kind of infuse rap into it. You know,
you've like Run DMC and Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Walk This Way.
Yeah, 2009 it was released.
Yeah, so that long ago. Longer. Coming up on a decade of you not hearing that song.
I guess I won't take your 100 because I guess I've heard it in the background somewhere, but I.
Where? Do you know where?
In a commercial, maybe? The beauty shop.
Yeah, they played at beauty shops sometimes.
And that was when Alicia Keys used to actually wear makeup.
Right. Yeah, she does not wear makeup anymore.
Right.
And good for her.
Yeah. Well, if you look like her, I wouldn't either.
Exactly. I wouldn't wear makeup. Bill would go, oh my God, you got James Spader booked on the show?
James Spader's filling in for Wendy.
It's not a compliment to either of us, by the way. To James Spader nor myself.
No, it's got to be to one of you.
No, because if he looks like a hussy woman.
Yeah, what if Steve or I had said that?
Well,
you'd call for our heads.
I can self-deprecate.
You'd look ridiculous with our head. Let's take a break, and then, you know what? And then more show. That's what's coming up. Yeah, it's Bill, it's Wendy, it's WGA. It's us. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. We're trying to figure out how you put cool words into music that aren't even really words. Is that a topic that's overused on talk radio? I think it is.
Specifically, we're wondering about the beginning of Empire State of Mind.
Yeah, Jay-Z starts out, it's he and Alicia Keys, and he just starts out the song by saying, yeah, which I think is really cool, and if I become a songwriter, I'm going to throw some words like that in my songs, too.
Ryan, you have a theory?
I think he got it from Wayne Campbell from Wayne's World. Yeah, Ryan.
Hang on 1 second. Hang on.
Hey, there's your girlfriend, Garth. Yeah.
This is more Shaw.
But it's in the same family.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I don't consider Jay-Z or Beyonce. Beyonce does nothing but karaoke. I mean, she's been caught doing karaoke. Jay-Z, unless they can sit down and write the music and write the words and the lyrics and everything else, they're not musicians. I'm sorry, but think they are.
They're a power couple, though, Ryan.
Yes.
Who cares?
I like you.
You know what a power couple is?
What?
Taking an orphan kid and giving him a home. That's a power couple right there.
Are you running for mayor? Because I will vote for you, and there seems to be an opening.
If you want to financially support me.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
That ended quickly. All right, guys. That campaign ended very quickly.
Thanks,
bye.
Ryan.
Enjoy the show.
Oh, thank
you. We enjoy you.
Thank you.
Shaw.
A texter, 219, probably a phone number, not their name, says, Michael Jackson used to make up a lot of words and sounds in his music. What's the one where he's singing a song and then he just sings the word Shamone?
What?
There's some Michael Jackson song where it might be Billie Jean, but at some point during the song he just sings
Shamone?
Yeah, he just sings Shamone like that. There's one of his songs. Well, yeah, but that's some. I think Tito was tickling him. If you watch the video, Tito sneaks up behind him and just starts tickling him. So that's why he was tee-heeing.
Well, it's just an added thing in there. It's just like a natural thing.
Yep.
Scatman Crothers.
Yep. Scatman Crothers, Wendy.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Right? But that was her whole, if you
she
look at the lyrics. Yeah.
She just couldn't remember the lyrics.
She didn't forget the lyrics.
Oh, if you go to lyrics.com and look up that song, it says, she boop bop, beep bop, boop bop, doobie doobie.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the lyrics.
She did it a lot, yeah.
Well, that's scatting.
If you're a lyricist and you're like, what? No wonder, what can I put in here? Oh, she bop boop bop, no. She bop boop, no. Okay. She bop boop bop. Yeah, that's the one. How do they do it? It's amazing.
Have you ever written a song?
Well, you know, the Jake Arrieta song was the American
like
Music Awards Song of the Year, Wendy.
Have you ever written a song?
Do I have to remind you that? Michael Jackson's Bad has this is according to 847. It's the Michael Jackson song Bad that has the lyric, Shaman, baby, Shaman. And there's no, that doesn't mean anything. It's just him saying noises.
There are just like guttural sounds
the Prince
that come
of pop.
Out. James Brown, king of that.
Yeah. Right, that's what I mean.
But he didn't write that on the lyric sheet. It just, he felt it, and he felt the need to emote.
But don't you think, though, that it became a thing where every time he did that song, he's like, I gotta do it now. I gotta do the part. You can't leave that part out. People in the audience would be upset.
I think that's why he retired.
Yes.
He got tired of doing it.
Making that noise.
Here's a perfect example. American Girl by Tom Petty.
Yeah.
He has a couple of those in there.
Right.
I mean, and if you sing along, do you sing along to any song in the car?
No.
I don't believe you. You said you did. There
sometimes
were
some... I do.
Like, name a song a Bill Left sings to. I'm just
to
curious.
Think of what would move me enough to sing. If it's one I know the lyrics to, I'll jump in. If I feel,
feeling it?
If I feel that the Beatles need my help, I'll help them.
Crying by Roy Orbison.
Yeah, that one's,
right?
Well, of course, Steve. That's
get into
obvious.
That.
Everyone's
going to
sing along with that. Several texters coming to your defense who they also did not ever hear that song, Empire State of Mind.
I think Bertrand owes me $100.
Several people.
I think it must have been a big year for comas.
Wendy, that's what it says. I've never heard that song either, Wendy. Signed, Guy Who's Been in Coma for 9 years. That's so
funny. I really
didn't.
I'm really shocked by that. And I'm not going to pay you $100.
Because
if you say it on the air, you have to deliver.
That's been proven untrue, time after time.
Because that's one of those songs that kind of just permeated. It was on almost every kind of station, yeah. And if you watch TV,
every promo for
it wasn't on WXRT.
Anything?
Oh,
it wasn't
sure
on
it was.
The drive. I'm sure it wasn't.
Oh, I can find that out in 10 seconds.
You know where else it was? Although I don't know if this would apply to you, but it was in Sex and the City a bit.
I watched that a couple times.
After the girls would have like an all nighter. Drinking wise, I mean, they would they'd walk down a street in New York, and there'd be like a foggy glow as they walked off into the sunset, and you'd hear that song playing. Like half the episodes ended that way.
Was The View on at the time that show was on?
I was watching The View, yes.
And you watched Sex and the City?
If it was on, it'd take a lot of muscles to get up and turn the channel.
So. You don't have a remote?
No, I don't believe in remotes.
All right, Dave wants to talk to us. Hi, Dave. We're talking about the things that matter, songwriting.
Hi, guys. Great show.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
When you were mentioning when Ella got into her groove and started that, you know, shoot-de-dooba really quick, it was called scat singing scatting.
Yeah.
And Mel Torme would sometimes join in. He was just as good at singing that way.
He was the Velvet Fog.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are you?
The Velvet Frog.
You are so quick. You know what, Dave? Somebody, is there a go-to song? I mean, don't you sing to a song on the radio in the car frequently if you're by yourself?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bill can't recall any, but someone swears that you have been known to sing when you get caught between the moon and New York City.
I will sing that one if that comes on while I'm in the car, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's Christopher Cross,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'll sing that one.
Wow.
Who wouldn't?
Wouldn't you want to be a little fly on the inside part of his windshield? Wouldn't it be fun,
Dave? Quite get over the fact that Christopher Cross was the best new artist of 1980.
He won a bunch of that first year that he came on the scene. Did he win 3 or 4 Grammy Awards? Like, everyone in music is like, Christopher Cross is the next giant in music. And then
were people in a coma then too?
Yeah.
After that song,
he did a lot of either studio singing along with like Michael McDonald, things like that, and
Michael McDonald's fantastic.
That was that song about you've got a long way to go to make it to the border of Mexico, that song. Yeah, they sang that together. That was
they
good.
They did?
Yeah.
Ride Like the Wind.
Ride Like the Wind.
I'll deny knowing that.
Think of Laura. Remember that song?
No. Said no one ever.
That hurts.
That hurts.
What's it called?
Think of Laura.
When Michael McDonald was a member of the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
Anytime that the Doobie Brothers go in concert anywhere in the country, whoever was a former Doobie in that area is quite welcome to get on stage with them.
Oh, that's cool.
I saw him solo at the Arcata, and God, was Michael McDonald good.
I think he's coming up at Ravinia soon, isn't
he's
he?
He's so good. And that was Minute by Minute album that he hooked up with them. Was that the one? Because all the hits came, Yamo Be There and all
Yamo
that.
Yamo Be There. About one of the Three Stooges being there.
And then also the one before that, Taking It to the Streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Doobies.
There were 13 original Doobies, but they're all invited anytime that they play a concert anywhere in the country. If we're in your town, come on up on stage.
That's how it should be, don't you think?
It really, no doubt.
Once a doobie, always a doobie. That's what my tramp stamp says.
There you go.
The Velvet Frog. Dave, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Keep listening, because we're going to hear a little of Think of Laura.
Ah, see, now this is beautiful. Listen to this.
Oh, my God.
I didn't write it. I just remember it.
And you listen to this?
Well, yeah. Every once in a while, I see her smile. I see her smile. This doesn't move
you're
you a little bit?
You're embarrassing yourself.
Come on. That's pretty.
You are the original John Cusack holding the boombox up with a lame song.
Yeah.
Although his wasn't so lame in your eyes.
Yeah.
You listened to this?
Well, it was on Top 40 radio. I mean,
I never heard this song.
You never
either.
Heard this ever?
This
Steve, did you ever hear
worst.
This?
Oh.
This does not Wait. Sound familiar to me.
Oh. I remember it.
Bill, you owe him $100. And then give it to
All
me.
Right. All right. That's how it is.
Wait, let me hear. Okay, make it stop.
He sounds like he's crying.
See, I thought
he is
was
crying.
A girl. I always thought.
Yeah, he's got kind of a feminine sounding
like
voice.
A girl's, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But in that Ride Like the Wind song, and that is one, Wendy, I will sing to, because
that's a great song.
You can't prevent it. So when Christopher Cross does that, and you've got such a long way to go, and then Michael McDonald chimes in, you know, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I don't think I knew Michael McDonald was a part of that.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this. This makes me want to drive fast. Like over the speed limit fast. I'm not kidding. Play this in stereo? Forget it. Listen to that energy. Even Springsteen would be bopping his head to this.
Oh, I'm sure he would. This is a great song.
This is a good song.
Wait, I gotta fast forward because we have to get to the news.
This is a rebellious
say.
What, Steve?
It was a popular song.
But
I don't think
it's
like
a really
it.
Great song.
Oh, all right.
No. Now listen to Michael McDonald.
Such a long way to go.
I can't hear it with you guys singing over
That's
it.
That's beautiful.
You just ruined my McDonald
no.
moment.
Come on. Do it one more round.
That's such a long way to go.
Ba-da-da.
Ba-ba-ba-da.
That's beautiful.
All right.
Steve, thank you. Before we introduce our next guest, pleasure was in italics, I sensed that. Before we introduce our next guest, I think we have received a record number of texts, Wendy. We were talking about various songs and things having to do with songwriting, and the Christopher Cross song, Think of Laura, came up. Sick to your stomach. I thought you were going to have to leave the studio. But a record number of texts saying that that song was played prominently on General Hospital during the Luke and Laura years, and when Laura's character died, in brackets, temporarily.
I was going to say, which time?
Temporarily.
Okay.
She came back. They would play this song quite often during her
Well, it's perfect for
her
that.
Waning days.
But for anything else, it is not perfect.
Maybe. Maybe. But you could see where, if you were watching General Hospital and Luke Spencer's, you know, wife, Laura Spencer, is expiring, this song would make it even more intense, right?
Paul Lisnick's on the phone with us. Do you remember this Christopher Cross song? I'm bringing you into it. Think of Laura.
You know what, guys? I not only remember this song, but I remember watching the Luke and Laura wedding.
Well, thanks
and
for calling, Paul.
With my mother. I mean, it's just, gosh.
Wait, Paul.
They should have played it on Dark Shadows, but that's another thing.
Wow. Do you remember what prominent movie star was featured in those episodes of the Luke and Laura wedding?
Elizabeth Taylor?
Elizabeth Taylor is correct.
Yeah, how pitiful am I?
You Why guys do you owe Paul $100 now?
No, you guys should just go out to lunch and talk about soap operas
right.
for the rest of the day.
We will.
All right, well, we have bigger things to talk about. Political analyst for WGN-TV, Paul Lisnick, is with us, host of Politics Tonight, weeknights at 5:30 and 10 on WGN-CLTV.
Right.
And Behind the Curtain is your podcast on WGN+. Plus.
Yes.
What do you hear about Rahm Emanuel?
I heard he's leaving.
Paul, where are you getting this information?
It's breaking news. You know, I tell you, almost everybody admits that it was surprise news. Nobody saw it coming. A couple people will say they saw it coming, but I don't. I think they're lying. The reality of it is, I will say this, that last week I began to wonder, what is he waiting for? With the Laquan McDonald, the Jason Van Dyke trial getting underway, and that's going to, you know, eat the air up in the room for the next few weeks. Why would he come out and announce a reelection bid during all of that? It made no sense to me. So now that he has made this decision, it does make sense, but needless to say, it was still a surprise.
Here's the question that I kept thinking yesterday and into this morning, and so I'm going to share it with you. How much of the violence in the city, the gun violence, can anyone honestly blame or pin on Rahm Emanuel?
You know, I've actually asked that question. I moderated a mayoral debate of all the candidates except Rahm. And one of the questions that came up is how much, and I also, on my podcast, have talked to these candidates, and I will tell you, many of them don't put it on him. I mean, he's part of the discussion. He's part of what, you know, needs to be addressed. But in terms of, do you blame the mayor for all the violence in the city? I find that even the other mayoral candidates aren't necessarily going there. But Bill, you make a good point, which is to say, you know, look, nobody else probably has the gravitas, the credentials to bring business into the city as he is. I mean, that's his world, business development and all of that. Sometimes successful, sometimes not. Who knows what'll happen with Amazon? But I think it is this problem of community police relations, the whole Laquan McDonald scenario, the holding off of the tape. That stuff just is not going away, and it's a critical issue for the community. And I think that's one of the concerns. His internal polling, as I understand it, was showing him up by double digits over every other candidate. But I think it was also showing that he was not doing very well in the African American community, and these were going to be issues he was going to have to face.
Paul, the criticism has been, they're not training the police officers properly. Well, they've addressed that, and they are trying to train the police officers longer, more extensively, and that there aren't enough police officers, and he's increased those as well. So if those are the criticisms that he's not doing enough, I think both of those have kind of been answered. I get it. There's still a lot of way too much gun violence, but I think he's doing kind of almost all he can do, isn't he?
Well, you know, yes and no. From the perspective of, are we training our cops? Are we putting more on the streets? You know, he's addressing that. Some would say not adequately. Others would say he's doing what he can do. But, you know, that's not the root of the problem, Bill. I mean, there's the need for education issues. There is such a deficit for the financial support needed to have the kind of job programs and education programs to give people hope and direction and put them on a path, that the whole issue of police training, it's a piece of it, but it's not the be-all end-all for this problem. And that's just one of the problems it's going on through an Emanuel term, and I hate to tell you, it's going to plague the next mayor, whoever that is, as well.
That's right. Whoever walks in, I don't even know why they would want the job. And there are always two sides to every story, because yesterday, Bill, do you remember a woman called? She had been teaching for 29 years, and she said she doesn't always agree with all the things that Mayor Rahm Emanuel has done, but he certainly worked hard for the Chicago Public Schools and did a great thing. And then we got texts from people saying he did nothing for the Chicago Public Schools. Two sides to every issue.
You know, we actually did a live half-hour call-in show on CLTV yesterday just to let people call in and talk about their views. And I got to tell you, to a person, everybody was very positive about Rahm Emanuel and was sorry to see him go. And these are regular viewers. We did have a candidate called in. He wasn't so positive. But everybody else was sort of saying, no, this is a mistake. He should be staying around. I thought it was interesting.
That is pretty interesting. And something that we weren't sure about as he announced he wasn't going to seek re-election was, is it too late for more people to throw their hat in the ring? And it isn't. And there are going to be, it's going to be a little clown car of mayoral candidates.
Well, Wendy, you know, you are right, technically. That is to say, they have until it's about mid-November to get their petitions in. However, for somebody who hasn't begun to enter this game, that doesn't have an infrastructure, that doesn't have the money and resources available to do it, to get the people on the streets, to gather the petitions, because you need 12,500, but in order to have those be legitimate signatures, you got to go collect it probably three times that. So, for, you know, if Rahm did a disservice to anybody, not that it was his problem, but it would have been giving a heads up a month ago to some other people who might have entered into this race. So we see the current roster of candidates who are there. Some of, you know, some of whom are not happy with them, others are. But the question is, who else could come into the race? It's got to be somebody with the mechanism to hit the ground running. And I'll tell you who I've talked about on air, and for no particular reason, other than to say Susana Mendoza. She's busy enough, and if she's listening to us, she might go, Paul, why are you doing this? But she's running for controller. She's got her own thing going on. But if you're thinking about the next mayor, first time Latina, female, and somebody who's got the infrastructure in place, somebody who Rahm Emanuel supports and Mike Madigan supports and would have that machine behind them, she would be one of the few people who must be thinking about this over a glass of wine at dinner, although it would be difficult for her as well. Difficult for anybody to step in. Valerie Jarrett, Bill Daley, all these names that people are throwing around. Tony Preckwinkle, going for this. But, you know, this is what it gets everybody talking right now. The bottom line is what you don't have right now is a Latino candidate, and you'll probably have Rick Munoz, a retiring alderman. He just about threw his hat in the ring yesterday on our midday news on television, so he'll run, and there will be others. There is going to be a Latino candidate in this race because there is nobody representing that part of the community, and that part of the community is huge.
Don't you think, Paul, that there's a select number of potential candidates who said to themselves a couple of days ago, I don't really stand any kind of a viable chance as long as Rahm Emanuel's running for mayor, but now that he's not, they see an opening, right?
Well, Bill, that's kind of my point. Had Rahm told these people a month ago or so, would have said, look, I'm not going to do this, so let me, you know, if you're going to think about this, Valerie Jarrett or Arne Duncan, let me tell you, so they'd have time to get it together. I think at this point, he may have them in a week. There could be a surprise somewhere, but it's a little bit too late for anybody. You need $5 million to run this mayoral race.
Go ahead,
you know?
Bill.
So I mean, Bill could write a check, and if he is, Wendy, you and I can run as a ticket. But, if you write the check. No, but the bottom line is only Rahm Emanuel had that money, and you could look at everybody else, Lori Lightfoot, McCarthy, everybody. They're all in the $500,000, $600,000. I mean, that's lovely, but it's not enough to handle a mayoral race. Now, there are money people out there who are certainly giving their money to Rahm, or were going to give their money to Rahm. I don't think they're ready to pick their next candidate, but there will be money coffers going in some direction, perhaps now as people kind of watch to see who begins to emerge from the pack.
Paul Lisnick on the line with us, political analyst for WGN-TV. You can see him on Politics Tonight on CLTV as well, 5:30 and 10 p.m. My question, in your opinion, Paul, why now? Why the announcement now?
That's a great question. As I said, why didn't he do it before, when it would have helped other people? And why was he waiting so long? Listen, I'll take what the mayor says at face value, which is this decision was made very recently. I'm sure it's something he and Amy have been discussing for a while. He clearly made the decision at least a day or two before announcing it, because within seconds of the announcement came statements from Barack Obama, Dick Durbin, and maybe Obama was sitting around with a few moments free, but Dick Durbin was involved in the Kavanaugh hearing, so there was no way he had time to draft that statement and get it out. So I think, and Mike Madigan, I think they all had some notice that this was coming because they all issued statements immediately. But as I said, it had he'd done this a month ago or 2 months ago, I don't think he was prepared to. I don't know that he was ready to be dropping out of this race. So, yeah, I think it's a surprise to everybody, and I'm willing to put money on the fact that it was a decision made very late in the game.
When announcing this yesterday, Paul, Rahm Emanuel was extremely emotional. He seemed like he was going to break down a couple of times during the announcement. Is
even
that a surprise?
At the start.
At the very beginning. Yeah, all the way through. Was that a surprise to you at all?
Well, you know what? When he started talking about his family and his parents, you know, people, well, he has this image of the tough guy and all that, and I've certainly had enough interactions with him to see, but you know what? There's a softer heart in there. There really is. And it may be his upbringing and his background, his familial ties, but no. To see him get emotional from time to time, I'm not surprised. There are human elements. We remember when President Obama began to tear up just after Sandy Hook. I mean, look, politicians are tough, but they're human as well. And to be honest with you, I think that most constituents, Chicagoans, probably found his having those human moments to be endearing. If you're not a big Rahm fan, maybe you don't make that comment. But, I mean, I think you've got to give him the respect of realizing this is a tough decision and probably one he's went back and forth on for quite a while.
Paul, are you okay on time? Can we take a quick break?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Paul Lisnick is with us.
What do I have to do?
The host of Politics Tonight, weeknights at 5:30 and at 10 right there on WGN-TV and on CLTV. We'll take a quick break and then more after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, I thought for a second this was another one bites the dust.
No. Oh, that would have been strange. It's Bill and Wendy. Our guest is Paul Liznick. Paul, of course, the political analyst over at WGN-TV, the host of Politics Tonight, weeknights, I'm sorry, at 5:30 p.m., and then again at 10 p.m. You can watch that on WGN on CLTV. Paul, there have always been rumors that Rahm Emanuel's political career would not end with him being the mayor of the city of Chicago, that he had higher aspirations. How does that play out now?
Well, that is true. In fact, if you may remember that back during the 2016 election, when Hillary Clinton was thought to be able to become the president, there had been a lot of discussion that she would pluck Rahm Emanuel from Chicago and put him in a cabinet or put him in some key role. Not that he hasn't been in a similar role. He was chief of staff for President Obama, so he knows Washington in Congress and the White House. But there was a lot of talk about that. I don't think there's any question that Emanuel is incredibly ambitious, and I've given some thought as to kind of where does he go from here, but I'm not sure what political office it is. I mean, stepping out of this right now he's not setting himself up for a Senate run. He's not running for governor. Where do you go? So whether or not it's a step into the world of business, running some major business entity or stepping into a university world, I mean, it's hard to know right now, and I'm not saying he knows right now, but I have little doubt that in a short amount of time, offers will come his way, and I don't think we'll be holding a tag day for Rahm Emanuel.
And, of course, yesterday people were speculating. We got a bunch of texts. He's going to run for president. That's what's going to happen. And I heard him say very clearly on the Steve Cochran show this morning that's not going to happen. Being in government on a smaller level in your state is where you can truly make a difference, not over the parameters of the whole country when you're president. So that's not going to happen.
I agree with you. I mean, yes, there's always been that discussion, and I'm sure as a young kid growing up and even as an adult, it's a dream in the back of his mind somewhere, right? Who would have thought Barack Obama would have ascended to the top? So I'm sure on some level that was something in Emanuel's mind. I'd be very surprised. I don't think he would have not run for re-election as mayor of Chicago if that's what he's going to do, because, you know, he could have won this election and shifted his attention. Remember, Obama won a term as senator and then shifted his attention without finishing that term. There would have been other roads there, and I don't anticipate that that's what's in his mind. I'm inclined to think that whatever he's doing is going to be outside of the world of a political office, at least for a period of time.
Yesterday, Paul, as Rahm Emanuel was announcing that he would not be seeking re-election, he told a story that I've heard him tell before, referencing his grandfather and the fact that he came to a city nearly penniless and couldn't even pronounce the name Chicago, and then just a few generations later, his grandson is the mayor of the city. That's an extremely effective story, isn't it? Every time I hear it, you just say to yourself, that's the American success story. That's something we've all strived for, is to go from being penniless to success. That's the greatest story you can tell.
Absolutely, and that was one of the moments he teared up, and I think that's real for him. And so, I think many of us have those kinds of, you know, family stories in our background of when our ancestors came over to this country. And I think, again, that's a very powerful driver for him. He's very driven about being a guy who probably shouldn't be where he is. I mean, if you were to look at him as a kid and where he came from and his family members, you would have said, there's the kid that's going to grow up to be mayor of Chicago or chief of staff at the White House. So I think he is, against all odds, ridden this to the top. But the truth is, all three Emanuel boys. I mean, his brother Ari, who is an incredibly successful L.A. agent, and his brother Zeke, who's an incredibly successful physician. You know, the Emanuel mom and dad did pretty good in the three boys they raised.
Right. Yeah. And you know,
nobody started in General Hospital among the three of them. But I just point that out.
When he mentioned his grandfather and his family roots, it just really explained why he fought so hard for Chicago to remain a sanctuary city. So yeah, that really meant. I like him a lot. Yeah. I hate to see him go.
Well, you know, the question is, would he have won the election? Here would have been my prediction. He was not going to get through it without a runoff. So there would have been, and there probably will now anyway, be an April runoff between candidates. The question is, it would have been Rahm and who? Maybe Paul Vallis, maybe Gary McCarthy, maybe Lori Lightfoot. Those would have been the people I would have probably kept an eye on. So maybe there was some concern that, you know, how would he fare in that situation? But I just think when push comes to shove, the money he has available to him, he would have filled the airways with as many ads as Pritzker and Rauner are running right now, and you know, nobody could have matched him in terms of getting his message out. So I think in the end, if you were a betting person in Vegas, I'd have bet on him to pull it out. Although people say no, the problem with the violence was going to take him out. But I think people, when push comes to shove and they have to cast that vote, they still would have felt he's probably the guy to just get one more term.
Paul, you mentioned Amazon very briefly at the beginning of our talk, so I just want to bring it back for just a second.
Sure.
Let's say Amazon has not yet made their decision. There's a lot of people who say, yeah, they've made their decision. They're just not announcing it yet. Let's say they haven't. How does this change things? If you're Amazon, do you look at Chicago as a city in flux a little bit because of this, or what do you do?
What a great question, because there are some people who believe, and this is all speculation, there are some people who believe Amazon made the decision and they're not coming to Chicago, and that's one of the reasons, you know, Rahm is going, well, look, I certainly don't have to stay around for that. I heard one theory that said Amazon is going to come to Chicago and Rahm is going to go run the thing. So you write all parts of the spectrum for this. But the real important point you make is, if I'm Amazon and I have not made my decision, and Rahm Emanuel is so keen on building business in this city, boy, Bill, that really gives me a moment of pause, because if the decision hasn't been made and we are really in the running for this and Rahm thinks it could come here, would he have taken himself out of the picture? Boy, I would put my money on I don't think so.
Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, he's still going to live here, right? He wants to see Chicago succeed. Maybe he was planning behind the scenes to run Amazon. And who knows? I mean, I just wonder if a lot more is going to come out that we're not aware of right now.
Well, there is a part of me that thinks there's something we don't know. I don't think it's any of the, you know, some of the silly conspiracy things that you hear floating around, not even worth mentioning. But I think there's something there we don't know. I think it is more than, I don't feel like doing this anymore. But I don't know what it is. And if it does turn out to be an incredible business opportunity, like an Amazon comes here, he runs it, we would end up going, ah, now I see it. Now we see what he's doing.
I wish him the best. I really do. If the election was happening right now and no new candidates are added, Lightfoot, Vallis, McCarthy, who are you thinking? I know there's fantasy football. Is there fantasy mayoral?
There are, for people like me. I think you've just named the three, and I named this as well. But the missing link here is, I do believe there's a Latino candidate, not yet in the race, who will, depending on who it is. You know, by the way, don't ignore Gary Chico. Remember, he ran for mayor. And I believe he is most likely considering this. I don't have that on. I have it on a little word, but nothing to talk about. But I think he's probably thinking about coming into the race. If you are a Latino member of the Chicago community and you're of, you know, import and power and connections, and Gary, who, you know, lawyer's got business connections, I mean, you have to be thinking about this. That's why I said before, if Susana Mendoza, you know, even though she's, you know, got a path set out, you got to be thinking about this. And I think we'll probably get decisions from anybody who's thinking of entering this fray very quickly. They have very little time to get into the streets for petitions. So whoever's thinking about it, better move fast.
Paul, it's always fun to talk to you.
Thank you for your insight. We appreciate it.
Always love spending time with you guys. You know that.
All right. He is Paul Liznick. You can find him on WGN-TV. He's a political analyst there. You can watch him on Politics Tonight, weeknights at 5:30, and then again at 10 on WGN and CLTV. And listen to his podcast, Behind the Curtain, on WGN+.
We appreciate it. Look forward to being with you guys soon. Thanks.
Take care,
Thank
Paul.
You. Quick break, and coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dane Neal. Dane comes by every Wednesday, and we talk about the world of food.
World. What the universe.
What a great world.
Every other Wednesday.
Every other Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep. Right. What do you think about this? Okay.
I liked yours last week. You were great last week.
Yeah, when you were last the doctor week. Talking
yeah.
about
mental. Well, I do that one. It's kind of like the stream, except it's just in my living room.
Right. That's fun.
So it's a streamless stream.
That's a good time.
Yeah. Some of my best work.
So today's topic, Dane, is...
It's tailgating.
Tailgating.
Right? I mean, this is when you think about, you know, the kind of the kickoff, no pun intended, maybe I intended it, I don't
you
know,
meant
of the NFL season, it's all coming up. And everybody, you know, if you look at the past experts.
Everyone but Bill.
of the...
I'm out.
See, but what Bill can look forward to is this part of it, because, you know, the food side of it, I think it's people kind of dealing with disappointment. You never know what's going to happen with the Bears, and what's going to be 4-12, 6-10. Maybe, I know, with the latest acquisitions and some moves in the front office and on coaching staff, people have high hopes, right?
Yep.
Higher
hopes.
Yeah.
Well, I heard they're talking playoffs and all sorts of things.
For the Bears?
Which would be wonderful.
Or in general?
For the Bears.
Oh, that's interesting.
You didn't know? You got to get up to speed with this. There's been some big moves. And that is wonderful. And I think, you know, great food and a tailgate is an opportunity to celebrate with fellow fans. But also, I think the tailgate can be the kind of thing that never lets you down. Oh. Right?
That is the best time ever.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, it really is, right, Wendy? It's
honestly, I hope my friend Sue, who has season tickets, is not listening, but the tailgating is better than the game to me.
If you're doing it...
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
If you're doing it right, or you know somebody a couple cars down that's doing it right, and if you look at, you know, for things like the Bears, people tailgate for decades, right? And they're almost in the same place. It's a traditional thing. Forget about, let's say, the season tickets and who you sit next to inside the stadium. People, you know, get together. They look forward to seeing each other, and they have things that they make. It's a big deal. So what are your thoughts as far as, like, when you should show up to a tailgate? I know there's probably rules, and I know when they, with the new stadium, with the Bears and the configuration in McCormick Place, didn't they put some restrictions on, like, when you could show up and, you know, and those kind of things? People can still show up.
3 days early is too early, right?
It's too early.
You want it to be game day? Is that what you're saying?
In the NFL world, it's too early, but people still show up early in the morning, you know?
Sure.
Let's say it's a noon game. They'll be there. I don't know if you're doing a lot of prep, and some people bring their entire game room. It looks like, right, a man cave there.
And 1 year we went, and they got a Winnebago or something, so you could go in or out, and that was awesome because you didn't have to worry about the bathroom.
Oh,
and
that's
they
better.
Had a table with a Bloody Mary bar with all the fixins before it became popular to put everything, including a slider, in there.
Right,
and just 8-foot-long Subway sandwiches and. And then we just went to the preseason game Thursday, and my friend Sue lugged her Bears cooler on the train. We got on in LaGrange, 4 chairs, and then we opened. We're like, Sue, we only have an hour. And she goes, oh, I'm going to take care of my girlfriends. She had little individual packages of provolone and salami that she got at Costco. She had a bean dip. She had ice-cold beers. Bears napkins.
And last year, Wendy, she made sandwiches shaped like Dick Butkus. I don't know how she did that. But
old Dick Butkus or young fiery Dick Butkus?
Old Dick Butkus.
How come you can't say that?
Dick Butkus. What does that mean?
It's a Butkus.
I think that's bad.
What, he turned into Harry Carey?
His name backwards is Dick Butkus. All right, explain this to me, because I don't understand this. Some of the people tailgating, not all, but some of them, will not even be attending the game, right? They will stay in the parking lot.
You have tickets to share. That's another thing. We've done that in the past.
Oh. Were you bringing extra tickets?
No, you have a ticket. You go in the game, and then you go outside.
Oh yeah,
and you give it to someone. Yeah, because they'll just scan it.
Oh, all right.
And
but there are.
I think they're trying to circumvent that.
Oh well, this was years ago.
Yes,
sorry. Because
now it'll be a
What happened?
That person's already in.
Said I could get in,
and they don't necessarily want to have people going in and out because you know they'll say that you've got to bring. It's almost like the airport now, where you got to bring a clear bag.
Right.
You know, items can only be like an ounce of this and that, and it's got to be like, you know, your insulin or something for you to go ahead and bring it in. But you're right, Wendy. Oftentimes the biggest party, some of the time, especially if you look at the past few seasons, the most fun part is happening in the parking lot, right? And then you can plan out all the food that you've got. I know they've elevated some of the food selections at Soldier Field, but, you know, where you can have almost anything. You know, you can have a lot of that cold stuff. You can grill stuff right there. You know, have your burgers and your brats and your hot dogs and all those kind of things. And
steaks. There was somebody in the Adler parking lot doing steaks on a little Smoky Joe. Like, big-ass steaks.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Steak fajitas and all that kind of stuff. All you have to do, and it's kind of like this. I don't know if I'd recommend taking everything on a train with you, because that sounds...
It was so hard.
That sounds hard, but the thing is that's different about this as opposed to a lot of the grilling. And AmazingRibs.com, they've got all sorts of the information of how to do a brisket and spend 14 hours doing it, plus also all your tailgate tips is that you really do have to, even if you're going to spend a few hours there. Yeah. Or if it's a NASCAR race, you know, for that Sunday race, they'll show up on Wednesday.
Ugh.
Right? So
oh, my
bring,
God, really?
You have to bring lodging with you as well. Is that it's got to be, you know, you got to pop it up and take it down. You want to break it down really quick. One of the different things, and I know this has been a discussion on this show, whether it's the charcoal versus gas, you know, mm-hmm. all your purists are going to mm-hmm. say that they love charcoal. But, you know, it stays hot for a long time, and so the gas may be the way to go. There's even, and you can look forward at AmazingRibs.com, now they've advanced technology to the point where you can have backpack grills. There's a Kevlar backpack grill.
Wow, that's impressive.
That you can just pop up and go ahead and make some stuff and do your prep in advance as well. And we'll talk about some of those items. And then the accoutrements of fun. Wendy, you mentioned the Bears napkins and things like that. People are getting into kind of the swing of things on the design side, and a lot of the ladies, you know, not that guys can't do it too, but
guys don't think about it.
They're putting their stamp right on the tailgate.
Yep. Dane Neal is here. We're talking tailgating. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200 on the call line and the text line. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Dane, you should host a show that's like Meet the Press, except it's called Press the Meat. Think about that. Just think about that.
Bill,
Sunday morning?
Why do these never, and I know that's, you know, the eternal mantra of save it for the show, but you should bring that up in the commercial break.
Yeah.
How many podcasts, you know, Press the Meat going to be starting up?
Yeah, that would work. Whatever.
Give it to the world.
Dane Neal's here. We're a think tank. That's what we are here in the studio, a think tank. We're talking about tailgating, and what better time with the football season about to begin. You have some hacks you'd like to share, correct?
Well, I mean, there's so many different kind of little things that when you hear them, they're tips, and you go, oh, yeah, you know, it's the kind of thing that you can do. So when sometimes you get there in the morning and people aren't thinking, I'm thinking because it's around lunchtime, mm-hmm. you know, you think of like hot dogs, hamburgers, steaks, people have brought up kind of that stuff. But breakfast foods, you know, people make breakfast, and one of the hacks is, you know, take the eggs, break them all in advance, put them in, let's say, a milk jug or some kind of jug, and then you can have them all mixed up, everything that you're going to put in your scrambled egg mix, and you can just kind of pour it out on the griddle when you get
easier.
So you don't have to fight that stuff.
How about pick up Egg McMuffins on the way?
Also very easy. Way easy.
Oh, man. Yeah, right. Don't even tailgate. Just like
some of the
get there
fun
ready,
of it the- for people is the preparation, I guess. I don't understand that, but I guess it is.
I am in the Bill Leff camp of I guess. Now, I'm the guy that I can appreciate it. You know, you can appreciate, wow, this is really neat. How did you get your whole, you know, basement here? You've got couches and big screen TVs and not the new kind, you know, the big old giant, the big old giant kind. And you understand the preparation that went in, and just kind of that whole celebratory part of it that goes into kind of being there and doing it and the cold beer and all those kind of things. And so you can appreciate it. It isn't something that I would necessarily, I would participate in it and certainly have, but I don't know that I would do that.
You wouldn't organize it.
I wouldn't be that, you know, I'd support it.
And
you know,
and partake in
and
it.
And I would partake.
Me too.
Yeah, I would be there in the crowd, but I wouldn't be the one, you know, at 6 a.m. trying to lug the, you know, the 55-inch, you know, giant projection TV.
A lot of work.
You know, into the back of
it's
a van.
It's like Eric Foreman's basement from that 70s show out on the parking
outside.
Lot. That's what it is.
People do it, and I think it becomes, you know, sort of their identity. You know, the guy, the Bears guy who wears like the Doug Plank jersey, and he wears like the actual, I think it's, I haven't done a DNA test, but I think there's some real bear.
Yeah, maybe.
In that thing. One of the other things, you know, ice is always that last minute thing that you don't necessarily think of, like, oh, where am I going to get some ice? And you got to stop. Burger King does.
Yes.
They'll give you some ice.
Sell ice bags of ice. Isn't that the best idea? Just go to the drive-thru.
There's a hack right there, even if you just need it for whatever you need it for. But you can take some of that water, because the ice can get messy, especially if you're going to be putting food into the cooler, keeping things cold, as opposed to just, you know, cans of pop soda beer. Is you can, you know, fill up, again, another use for the milk jug, the eternal milk jug, is go ahead and put water in that, freeze that up the night before, and then you've got yourself giant ice packs.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Where do you plug stuff in?
Well, you can get small generators, you know, all over the place. That's another thing to think of, too. And I know that Honda makes a really good one, but you can go, I think, you know, 50, 75, 100. It depends on how committed you are to power. But that's a great point, because you want to be able to plug that stuff in. Some of the grills, you know, you get those, we run by propane. But some people, right, they have sort of the kind of the Mardi Gras lights up.
It's very elaborate.
They've got the television on so they can watch the pregame shows in advance. You've
it's
also
hard to see the TV screen, though, when it's really sunny out.
Yeah.
It really is.
This is a problem, right? So that's why you have the tent. You have the canopy,
the gazebo or whatever,
and the Lazy Boy and all that kind of stuff. They also have, and I think it's Cobra that makes it, a bunch of different sizes, is a converter where you've just got two things like you would if you were going to jump your battery. You just plug it to your battery. And then you can go ahead, and it's got regular outlet plugs. Very easy to use and great for a situation, you know, like that.
Does your car start at the end of the game then?
Yeah.
you need a new battery.
Yeah. You just remember to turn it off. But here's some of the other things. So we all know about, you know, the breakfast foods. We talked a little bit about that bacon. You could do anything, you know, with bacon. Bacon is great anytime. But also here, like Dr. Barbecue had mentioned, you know, some of the things that he likes is stew, you know, soups and some of those kind of things that you could put and serve it in a coffee mug. So instead of the whole, because this is part of it, is it's got to be mobile. You know, you don't want to walk around with a bowl and a spoon, and you can just use the coffee mug. You can go ahead and have that ready to go.
That's easy. Are there ever alcoholic beverages served at these tailgate events?
I don't know.
Can I say something about that, though? Because this was 10 years ago, at least, that we had the Bloody Mary bar. And at that point, it was blue cheese, stuffed olives, celery, and maybe a couple of pickles.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, there are things in there where you can't even get to the drink.
Sure. I know.
That's too much.
You'd think it would be too much. But then again, I think that, you know, I think it lends itself to the festivity of the moment. Plus, sometimes it's good to have like a slice of, you know, pizza stuck on top there. I mean,
or a whole chicken. I read somewhere that somebody puts a whole chicken.
That's a bit much.
I mean, how do you even, how does the glass stay up?
This weekend, of course, go to AmazingRibs.com for a lot of the equipment and different grills and all that portable stuff where, you know, you can get something that you can, you know, set up, you can break it down. Meathead will be on, I think, this weekend as well. But on the you know, kind of the accoutrements of the design side of it is the Tailgate Cookbook. It just came out, and this is Beth Peterson. She's a person that I know and have worked with on a bunch of things over the years. She did the tailgate tour. She came out with this. And it is now the number one book on Amazon for its category. That's all great. About tailgating.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily, there's no, you know, flowers and, you know, puppies and, you know, whatever other things,
yeah, right,
you know, that paisley, doilies, nothing like that. It's just got more of a, more kind of a lady sensibility design, some chef elements built into it. And Wendy, you mentioned the alcohol side. Sure, everybody, this is one of those great moments. And think about this. Some of the best kind of feelings, you know, whether it's, you know, you want to be running through like a field of poppies and playing with puppies, but is sticking your hand into an ice cold cooler of and pulling out, you know, something.
Yes.
You know, a Pabst Blue Ribbon or something like that.
Now you're talking.
Right.
That sounds so good.
Doesn't it?
Ice cold.
I know. And there's nothing like, you almost want to do that at home. Just have one of those ready to go.
Yeah.
But there are so many different things you can do on the cocktail side with the margaritas, the punch, the Bloody Marys, and she'll have a bunch of that stuff in there too. Plus a lot of appetizers, like mobile foods that are really thoughtful, you know, on the tailgate side, easy to do. A lot of it is prep as much as you can beforehand so that you get there. And after you, because you know you're going to have, Bill, this would be you, you're going to have, you know, like a bottle of Jack Daniels or something. You're going to,
you know me.
And you won't be able to cook as well as you would think.
Right.
Prep some of the stuff. And also on the cooler side, you can keep beer in it, but it also keep hot foods hot too. So you can prep some of that stuff at home and then bring it in that very expensive Yeti cooler and it'll be ready to go.
Perfect. Perfect. Bean bags are the official game of tailgating.
You know what? Here's the thing. Sure. Of course. Yeah. Right. And there's that protocol. You know, you don't want to, like, you know, disrupt the beanbag situation.
Right.
The football, you know, if you're going to flip frisbee is great. Stuff that you can't, let's say it goes errant, it won't, you know, hurt anybody. So lawn jarts are usually out.
Baccarat? You see a lot of that or not?
I think you set up a tetherball court.
No one's going to invite you to their tailgating party, dude.
And then BackyardBarbecueStore.com and Dan Marguerite's going to be part of the show, too, with all of the equipment and things that you need, you know, all the different things from, like, brushes and aprons and certainly how-to books and all the equipment. It's going to be big. So
good.
Are you inspired, Bill, to,
very,
even though you're not
so
interested in the sporting event, to maybe take up tailgating?
Right. I will go for the tailgating, and then I'll go home.
People do that.
I know they do.
Yeah.
I know they do. But then it also, like I said, it makes me laugh that people go and they just watch the game in the parking lot, because I would rather watch it on at home.
I don't...
It's fun to be in that lot with all the fans, though.
Don't you get sort of the... I mean, for me, it feels like way too much trouble.
Crazy.
Well, then you don't go.
Then you don't go.
Then you stand in your living room by yourself.
But you always see, there's always people out there during the game. It's 11 degrees below, and they're outside.
There's something to be said, and the college football atmosphere is as good as it gets as well. Certainly racing or whatever. But there's something to be said for being sort of in, like, the aura of the event. You know, the sights, the sounds.
Yeah. You're by it. You're not in it, but you're by it.
I feel it. If I wasn't going to go, it may seem like more trouble than it's worth.
Right.
But it's worth giving a shot.
Absolutely. That's Daniel. you're Dane Neal, you said, right?
A while now.
That's Dane Neal. And Dane, if people want to hear more of you on the weekends, what's their chance?
2 p.m. here on WGN Radio. On the road, we're going to hit the road for the ultimate tailgate experience.
Very nice. Thanks, Dane.
Thanks, Dane.
A quick break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN Radio. And yesterday about this time, we were talking about a celebrity, I guess.
Yeah, Jeffrey Owens.
I had a real life job.
Yeah, Jeffrey Owens. If you were listening to the show, you heard us talk about this yesterday. There's an update, or maybe you saw it yourself over the weekend. Was an actor who appeared for several years on The Cosby Show. He was Elvin, the son-in-law of Cliff Huxtable, right?
Elvin Thibodeau.
Very, wow.
I read so much of it yesterday.
I'm just impressed. I'm easily impressed. So Jeffrey Owens, for years, played a character. He wasn't on every episode. He was kind of a reoccurring character. Whenever the eldest daughter, Sandra, would come back to visit the Huxtables, Elvin would be along. But now, as you all know, the Bill Cosby Show is very hard to find in syndication. So his residual checks have kind of dried up. He's still a working actor. He's still putting in quite a bit of time doing episodic television. But he was in the news because somebody snapped his picture at Trader Joe's in New Jersey.
And it was reported first to the Daily Mail, right?
Oh, was that first?
I thought
Fox News has taken a lot of the hit on this. People upset with Fox News. But
sent it to Daily Mail because these people are now, the girl's sorry she did this.
Yeah. Oh, is she?
And she should be. But she didn't think, you know what, I got to tell you, if you saw a celebrity walking down the street, well, you wouldn't. Anybody else but Bill would maybe take a picture or a selfie or go, look who's in Chicago and post it.
Yeah.
And maybe they lied to their spouse and said that they were in Singapore. So, you know, if all of a sudden a marital strife happened and you're responsible, you'd feel bad.
I bet you would.
They were trying to really do anything other than, oh, look, it's that TV guy. He now works at Trader Joe's.
Right.
But this damn social media is going to take everyone down, Bill.
I think you're right. And I have to admit to you, I was a party to this, the walking down the street, seeing a celebrity, having your picture taken. When I was in New York recently, my daughter Reese we were walking down the street and we saw Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, and Reese got very excited.
Is that Mitchell?
Mitchell, yes.
I love him.
So she had her picture. I was not in the picture, but I was there for it. So I was close by to one of the situations you're describing. But I always feel, I don't want to put them out, you know.
Don't people ask to take their picture with you?
Constantly.
Does it put you out?
I don't think I've had a 5-minute period in the last couple of years where somebody doesn't want that. So update number one on this story is this. Jeffrey Owens is no longer working at the grocery store.
Why?
He decided it was too distracting. And I kind of understand that because after all the attention that this got over the last couple of days, I would imagine that there was probably quite a bit of traffic from people who knew that Elvin from The Cosby Show was working at Trader Joe's, so they probably just went in to see him. Don't you imagine that was probably a thing?
Well, now I feel even worse, Bill, because that is my dream job.
To work at the Trader Joe's.
Oh, my God. You get to...
Elvin or just by yourself?
No, I love our Trader Joe's. They have great food. I love the hibiscus, and they have that on their shirts.
Right.
Get to carry a box cutter. You get to wear like combat boots with shorts.
You're allowed to carry, not on an airplane, but you can carry.
You can't walk down the street with a box cutter, can you?
I think you can.
But I got no boxes to cut on the street.
But just to have one is nice.
Oh my God, my Trader Joe people in LaGrange are so friendly. I just love that. Yeah. That is my goal job.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say goal, but when I retire, that's where I'm going.
Head over to the Trader Joe's. Well, he just decided that it was too much of a distraction. And they, to the credit of the people at Trader Joe's in New Jersey, this particular Trader Joe's, they did not want to accept his resignation.
Oh.
They said to him, why don't we leave this open-ended? And, you take a couple of weeks, and if you want to think about it, you want to come back, we love you. We'd love to have you. All right, so that's update number one. He is no longer working at the Trader Joe's. Number two is he was offered a pretty decent job, or at least he thinks he was offered a pretty decent job, by Tyler Perry. I know this is radio and people can't see Wendy's face, but I think your face just kind of said it all. Like, oh, that's the job he got offered, to be in a...
Stay at Trader Joe's.
To be Madea's sister in
Elvin.
A movie? Come on.
That's nice of him, but he did that to get press.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
I'm not the biggest Tyler Perry fan.
I'm not either, although you and I are the only ones who don't like him.
I cannot understand his movies at all. And I know they're not meant for me, but every time I see a clip, I go, isn't this every movie he's ever made?
Yep.
He's playing his own grandmother again? Seriously? I don't get it. They make gazillions of dollars.
We're never going to be rich. Do you realize that?
No.
We will never be rich.
I don't think he does a second draft on any of his scripts. I just think he just, like, in the middle of the night, scratches something down on a piece of paper, and then they make it the next day. I don't think no one ever calls him out. He's got his name above the title, which is amazing to me.
I just apologize for my giant roll of eyes.
She did eye roll.
It was kind of like my Jack Benny look.
Rochester, I saw you do that.
I just...
Tyler Perry offered him some work. He said in a tweet, Tyler Perry said, Jeffrey Owens, I'm about to start shooting Owens, that's a cable station, number one drama next week.
Isn't that Oprah's network?
I think it is, isn't
it? Yeah.
I think it is. Perry tweeted this on Tuesday, referring to his show, The Haves and the Have-Nots, which is currently in its sixth season on OWN. I knew it existed. I didn't know it had been out for six years. Oprah Winfrey Network. Yeah, yeah.
I love Oprah.
Come join us, says Jeffrey Owens. Not the way they sang it on the Dick Van Dyke Show, but still. I have so much respect for people who hustle between gigs. That is the measure of a true artist. Now, again, I'm not one to side with Tyler Perry in anything, but I kind of like that he... Oh, I'm
As
not.
Doug
Come
Heffernan
on.
Would say from Come King on. Of Queens. I mean, that just...
Yeah, he's... I know. He's getting some publicity out of this.
You know what? Offer it in a private message.
Yeah.
If you really...
Right. I know. There's ways to find out who's representing Jeffrey Owens and to say to their agent, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but if the guy's looking for work, I've got work for him. Have him show up. Right? He could have done it a little more. I understand that. Owens, who, as you mentioned, Wendy, played Elvin Thibodeau for five seasons on The Cosby Show. Boy, it's weird. Every reference you get to how often he played the role, some say 2 years, some say 7 years. This one now says 5 years. He wasn't always on it.
He would just show up
from time to time, right?
Sporadic.
He made headlines over the weekend. You already know this over at Trader Joe's. So now he's now saying he can't tell for sure if this is a legitimate job. He thinks it's a job offer. But he said, I still can't really tell.
And who knows what the offer is? I mean, yeah, I'll put you in my movie. You can play a Trader Joe's clerk.
That would be the cruelest joke ever.
I'm going to do
that.
Wouldn't
that be awful?
That would be funny.
That'd be horrible. I hope that's not the case. So he says he can't really tell. He also says, to the credit of Jeffrey Owens, he says he doesn't want to be handed a job. He wants to earn a job.
Right.
That's very noble, isn't it?
Yeah, but now, how does he know what is earned and what is not, because he's in the spotlight? And if you want to know somebody that really made a difference to me, was Pamela Adlon. I love her show on FX. It's called Better Things. She does the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
She's so great, and she's the one whose press got taken first. One of her tweets got taken all over the place, and she said, you know, your visibility as an actor never goes away, but the money sure does.
Yeah.
So everybody came out to support Elvin, but this is just,
You think it's grandstanding?
Yes.
Tyler Perry's grandstanding?
Did Kevin Hart offer him a job yet?
No.
Be on his game show?
No. And he could offer Kevin Hart a job at Trader Joe's because, you know, you need to stock the lower shelves. Kevin Hart could come in and just
there
put
it goes.
The tomato
Full circle.
Paste on the lower shelves.
I set you up. I didn't even know it.
Thank you for doing that. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more things to discuss with you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill. It's Wendy. We're going to go join the stream. We're going to do the bonus hour. We're going to do the stream of consciousness.
Everything
Bill,
you said is true.
Bill Leff Unleashed.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, that's coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll be on the stream. Both you and I are taking a lot of hits on the text hotline.
Why? Tyler Perry's
Because we've made fun of Tyler Perry, and you're not supposed to.
Listen, to be fair, I have not seen a full movie that he's done.
I don't know that I have either. Although, I have to say this. He makes those movies where he plays his own grandmother a lot, you know, those Madea movies. But then every once in a while, I'll see a movie that I like a lot, and I'll notice that he's one of the executive producers on it. Like, it's not one of the movies that has his name over the title, you know, like Boo. Remember that movie, Boo?
No.
You don't remember it? I think there were two or three of them where it's his grandmother and she's in a haunted house for like 2 hours. I don't know. But did you ever see the movie Precious? Precious was an amazing movie.
What did he have to do with that?
He was an executive producer on it. So he puts up money for some really good movies, but then he makes other movies that I'm not sure are great. Here's a text from 414. I can't believe I'm going to defend Tyler Perry, but even though his movies are awful, he's very philanthropic. I know that for a fact. Oprah loves him for that reason. And I have to say, even if you can't stand his movies, and I can't stand the bits of his movies that I've seen, I admire a guy who goes, I'm making a ton of money. I got to spread this out with people who need it. And he does seem to do that. 414 goes on to say he does a lot of good with his money. Horrible movie producer, but really good guy.
All right. Well, maybe I stand corrected, and I'm not cackling and being mean towards Tyler.
I didn't hear you cackle.
You want to hear a cackle?
312 says, you always say be nice to people. This must be for you.
Oh, excuse me. Listen, all right, I am not a fair judge of Tyler Perry because right. I maybe am not as familiar with his work.
Yeah.
So I will do a Tyler Perry Fest over the weekend.
Are you going to do a Tyler Perry Fest?
Just to give him a chance, but
with
I guess...
Boo? With the movie Boo in it?
Should I watch? Is that one you recommend?
I don't think, again, like yourself, I've never seen one start to finish, but every once in a while, if you're flipping through HBO or something, one will come on, and I'll go, oh, let's watch this for a minute, and then at the minute mark, I go, oh, was that a long minute? Oh.
All right, well, I will give him a second chance. I just feel like this is not the proper way to do it, because then Elvin is not the story. Now all of a sudden Tyler Perry's the story, and I guess that's what bugs me.
Well, it depends on how much you think he was doing it to get his own name out there, and how much did, like, it's very, very possible he went, wow, there's a man down, there's an actor down, let me see if I can help pick him up.
But why would
it's
you do possible. It publicly?
I don't know.
You know, do it behind the scenes.
Right.
Send a private message and let Elvin, which is terrible, I can't even remember his
Jeffrey
room.
Owens.
Okay. Then he says, oh my God, you guys, here's what happened.
Right.
Tyler Perry offered me a job.
Right.
And I quit Trader Joe's. But this is just, it's taken.
Yeah.
Elvin didn't look for any trouble. He was
no.
just going to work,
right.
and now.
But I think the saddest element of this is that I don't know how much he enjoyed his work at Trader Joe's, but it was, you know, he was probably getting some sort of insurance plan through them.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
They have great insurance
there. If
he's
working that often through, I mean, we were looking at his credits yesterday, and he's still, right up until now, he shows up on TV quite a bit. I saw him on Blacklist a few months ago.
Blue Bloods.
Right, he was on
Always
Blue Bloods.
Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Which, that's, the new season's coming of that soon. Like, very soon.
Oh, very soon. But if you get those, it's not like being a regular on a show where you know you've got a paycheck coming in every week. It's not great money. It's decent money, but maybe it's not enough. I don't know if he's married or has children. I have no idea.
He has one. He's married and has one kid.
Oh, he does.
And yesterday when we were looking at his IMDb page, Internet Movie Data Bill,
yeah.
We saw that there are two things in post-production, so he's already finished.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
So he's not getting paid now.
Right, right.
And still, you know, you supplement your income when you have to.
Sure.
He's teaching.
Right.
He's busy.
He's teaching acting?
Yeah.
Is he? Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, we mentioned that yesterday. You should listen to our show. It's pretty good.
There's other stuff. There's too much other stuff. All right. So there you have it. That's Jeffrey Owen's story with Tyler Perry. Do you like Matthew Perry? What do you think of Matthew Perry? He's good.
Do I like him?
Could I like him anymore? All right, here is the game plan, everybody. In just a little bit, Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. We've got all kinds of things planned. We hope you'll join us. But you also have the option to keep it right here and listen to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.